Today's episode is in partnership with California Love, K-pop Dreaming. How did K-pop transcend continents to become the global sensation it is today? Host Vivian Yoon shares the history of how the genre came to dominate the charts and explores her own story of what it means to be a Korean American today. Listen to California Love, K-pop Dreaming from LAS Studios wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you, Gabriel, and welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey, everyone, I'm Ashley, and today Jungkook released a teaser for his upcoming solo debut. The song is called Seven, and it features Lotto. I think that's how you pronounce the featured artist. And in the teaser, or the music video, is going to feature that girl who's the lead actress of Nevertheless. So
spicy, yeah. Spicy.
Spiciness. I'm excited. I mean,
in the teaser, are they going out on a date, or is that your interpretation of it?
It looks like they're on a date, but they're fighting. Like having some sort of argument.
So it's not gonna be about the seven boys and their friendship.
I know, that's what I thought originally too.
Yeah, because, like, what else would it be if your title is Seven?
Yeah, or maybe he's like, I'm picking my homies over you.
Or maybe one of the seven wants in on this girl.
Dang. Yeah, so his song is going to release on the 14th, which is in 2 days, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, thank you, Ashley. Chris?
Hey everyone, I'm Chris, and I'm very excited for this new teaser that we got. We're getting a lot of teasers actually out this like last few weeks, but Island 2 is announcing and like promoting their girl group Open Call. So they're doing auditions, I guess, worldwide Open Call. I even checked if like I would make the cut. Low-key, if they just want anyone born before 2001, I think Jesus. Is what it's... Or well, wait, no, 2011? Wait.
2011?
It can't be 2000. Oh.
I think it was 2011.
That means that they're 12 years old? Minimum?
Oh, like maybe the starting, yeah. That wouldn't be unheard of, I guess, these days.
That's yeah.
Because then they have to train for like 2 years.
Exactly. And shoot and stuff and like shoot the actual TV show too.
Interesting.
So yes, but I'm very excited. We've been looking forward to this for a very long time, since Enhypen, so I'm curious how this will turn out.
All right, Gabe.
Hello everyone, I'm Gabe. And sort of in the same vein, this post I saw on Instagram recently, and it went viral, and it was of Mingyu from Seventeen at like a water park or something.
Oh yes, and I saw that today.
It popped up on mine too.
Yes, I immediately was like, "This is the content I like."
Keeping Seventeen relevant without context,
and then. I like saw it on Instagram and then I opened Twitter like a couple hours later and of course it was blowing up on Twitter. So
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you, Mingyu.
Dada da dim dum.
Yes. I also was really surprised that kid, is his name Woozy?
Yeah.
What kid are you referring to, Ashley?
I mean, I don't know how old he is. He's younger than me, but he's buff.
Woozy? Are you talking about the right Woozy?
Yeah.
Yes, he's in that carousel on Instagram.
The small person?
Yes, that kind of looks like Min Yoongi.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yes. Yeah, he's buff too.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think Mingyu's proportions are more
conventionally appealing.
Your style.
Okay.
Thank you, Mingyu, for feeding carrots all around the world.
I was gonna say, this podcast is, you know, year after year, recording after recording, moving its way towards the carrot land, and you know, we love it. All right, Thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode. We have another round of K-Bops, and Chris is going to start us off this episode.
Yes. So every time that I think about this group, I just like, I have to formally apologize for judging them terribly on their first get-go before they debuted. We even didn't we do a hot take hot talk about them?
Yeah, because there was like a lot of controversy because they
we did a Garam episode on them too.
Yeah, okay. Well,
oh, sorry, not Garam. Wrong group.
Yeah. Well,
Hybe is confusing me.
Still, this is a once again, every time I'm going to formally apologize because the fangirl that I am now, like, I live for this group. And so my rec for today is going to be Super Shy by NewJeans. I love the trajectory that they're on because also I feel like their sound is not what I expected them to have, if that makes sense. You know, like when their first song, their debut song, we said it when I think Casey wrecked it. It's like this fresh sound and it still applies to this song too. It's very like almost R&B, but also bubblegum pop. I don't know if you guys agree with that description of it. It's mostly in English, though. That's my one thing, is that I could only catch like one verse or one bridge in Korean. But I just love their album art, and I love how they're promoting this. They're like, their album art is Powerpuff Girls, but I assume it's just NewJeans. And then if you look in their Instagram, like all their reels featuring this song, like they're each kind of taken on the role of a different Powerpuff Girl. You know, like one's wearing pink and blue, and they're each like assigned their own color, and it just looks very cute, very summer. And their TikTok dance is very easy and I can actually do it. So that's another big plus for me because I do not have rhythm. I know the and I almost thought about participating in it, but then I got too shy again. But yeah, it's just a good light summer song. I really like it. It's a very cute, simple choreo. And like I said, every time I think about them, I just cringe at how harsh I judge them to begin with because they do not deserve that. I love them so much now.
Yeah.
They're doing something freshly vintage, I feel like, with their music.
Yes.
And there's just something unique about it. No one else is doing this sound. They've clearly are appealing to everyone in Korea, and it seems like they're moving outward. I don't know. I just feel like the sky's the limit for them. Another number one hit. Like, what can go wrong for them? I just don't know.
I just really hope they keep going on this because, I think they're hitting that sound perfectly. And I think it's nostalgic for us, you know, because it, like Gabe said, it's like kind of that tribute to musical culture. But then also the younger generations are also very much embracing it too. I actually saw a Reddit thread. I was like scrolling through Reddit and it's kind of opposite of what we're saying right now, but it was like this boomer on K-pop thoughts and was like, I don't know if I'm too much of a boomer now, but these NewJeans sound is just not doing it for me anymore. This is too fresh, or it's like too new for me. I'm like, it's not appealing to me at all. And I was like, what? Like, I feel like this would, it's nostalgic for me. It like very much reminds me of that like late 90s, early 2000s pop culture.
Like actually boomers though.
I know, that's what I'm thinking too. Like maybe they actually were a boomer. But I love where they're going. I'm here for it. Maybe I'll buy a retainer bunny light stick.
You have to. It's so, I mean, I still think that it looks like a teeth whitener, but it's cute.
Yeah. I mean, it does. You can like it and it still looks like a teeth whitener.
The way they're decorating it on their reels too, it's actually kind of cute. They're like dressing it up. Yeah. I guess they just had a fan meeting. I'm fangirling. I'm sorry. I'm like going off topic, but I'm such a big fangirl.
Okay.
I do have one sort of criticism of New Jeans.
Which is,
I looked at the mini album that they released with Super Shy, and I think I didn't listen to all of the songs, but I listened to the one that they released before Super Shy with the Powerpuff Girl animated video. And the video was like 3.5 minutes, but the song itself was like less than 2 minutes long. So, and then I looked at the mini album and like all of the songs are like under 3 minutes basically.
I thought their songs are very short.
I think there's only 2 songs on their mini album, is there? Or am I wrong?
Well, isn't this a pre-release?
I think it is, yeah.
I thought this was like their debut, comeback.
It says it's not here, it's their single.
Yeah.
So it's a pre-release to the album. 2 songs on this, the Powerpuff Girl album cover.
Wow, that was
gonna be my next thing. It's like I didn't know whether to call it a mini album, an EP, because I still get that confused. But yeah, it looks like it's just a single. It's just the 2 songs that are out.
Yeah, this is just to hype up their actual
interesting
comeback.
So is like a 2-song pre-release a thing now?
I guess
EXO
so.
Did I guess it. So.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what they have in store for us in a couple of episodes. We'll probably cover their comeback.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, speaking of EXO, go ahead, Ashley.
So my recommendation is EXO's 2nd pre-release, and it was released on June 30th, and the song is Hear Me Out. Hear Me Out is the 2nd pre-release, like I said. It's a chill R&B song with 90s and 2000s era production. The lyrics talk about conveying one's honest feelings to a hesitant lover and reassuring them. The song is very relaxed. Like, it's just a vibe, you know? It's like one of those summer days where you just kind of lounging, chilling with the friends. There's a scene in the music video where they're literally all inside what looks like an Airbnb, and they're just looking at their phones. And it's like, I feel that.
True.
Like, it's just a lazy little weekend trip together.
Kai in the music video?
Yes, he was. And like what Gabe mentioned in previous episodes, he had his pink hair that everyone
likes.
That's
right.
Yeah. The music video vibe is, it was giving me Coco Bop chillness, is how I describe it. Like, it's
Coco Bop's not all that chill.
It's not. No, Coco Bop is not. But like the way that they're dressed, the scenes that they have in the music video, it's very summery. They're wearing like Hawaiian shirts, and that's kind of like the same thing that's happening in Coco Bop, but like just more chill, you know?
Maybe they're like done with their party in Coco Bop and they're like coming home and like tired.
Yeah.
They're like older men now, so like they can't go out as much, you know?
I know. And these
but
older
they can
men,
still have a good time.
Yeah, and they're having a good time at the bowling alley. Like that's their vibe now. They're just chilling. My favorite part of the song is actually my favorite parts of the song are when Chaniel sings. I just love his singing voice. I love it so much.
I mean, you love Chaniel, period.
I do love him. Every time I watch the music video, I look at Teddy and I was like, that's your daddy.
Oh my God.
Okay.
What else do I like? So at the time of this recording, today is July 12th. The album has been released and their title track, Cream Soda, has been released as well. I just wanted to give it a shout out. Although it's not my favorite EXO song, I do like the vibe of the music video. It gives
And it's not polarizing.
Yeah, it's not that polarizing. I mean, the lyrics are a little bit spicy. Like, the English lyric is literally, I need your cream soda. Like, ew, what does that mean?
Watermelon sugar, like,
disgusting. I don't like it. But the music video vibe gives me, like, rich Asian bachelor.
Yeah.
And
like young like, men.
Like young bachelors like partying in Las Vegas or just like at the club, wherever. I love it. I just
but, like in the 80s or something.
Yeah.
In yeah, the they're 80s. Not going to like the day club or something. They're like
no,
going
they're
to
not.
Hang out.
Yeah, they're going Pick to the nightclub.
People, yeah.
And yeah, what did you guys think of Hear Me Out?
I thought it was a groovy track. That's the one word I would use to describe it. It was groovy, and I liked that. And usually I'm not a fan of, like, R&B type slower pop songs, but this one I think really resonated with me because of that. So,
Yeah, I thought you wouldn't like this one, Gabe.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't going to like it too at first when I was watching the video because I was like, oh, this is kind of like a slow pop song, like vintage concept. Not a huge fan, but the chorus, I think, did it for me. So,
yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying online. A lot of people say that the song is a little bit misplaced, that they don't really see it as an EXO release, but more as like an EXO-SC or Baekhyun solo release. And the beginning of this song,
I can kind of see this as a SC for sure.
I was just gonna say that when I first listened to it, that was my vibe too. Like it took me to EXO-SC.
Yeah, and a lot of people did criticize the beginning of the song, saying that it was like not very good. But then once it came around to the chorus, then they were like hooked.
I thought it was a solid release. I think it built up a lot of expectation and hype for the 7th full album. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ashley. 7th?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, if you also look at boy groups, not a lot of boy groups are releasing music like this, so it's actually kind of fresh. So, like, EXO did leave some kind of void when they are not active fully. So it's really nice to hear consumable slow pop that's not a ballad.
Yes.
Because there's such a big market for that in Korean music. There's not as big of a market for slower music among idol groups.
Yeah.
And EXO does that really well. So.
The last thing I'll say about this EXO comeback is they went on Dingo and did a Killing Voice video. They only released the video like one day ago, but I've already watched it 3 times and it's a 20-minute video. Like, it's so good.
Ashley, it's so you good. Know I'm there with you.
I just have it as like background music and when I first watched it, I texted Nathan right away, like, they gave every single member a microphone, which is very noticeable because when NCT 127 went on Killing Voice, they were sharing microphones. So maybe because there's less members here than in 127, but I'm just saying these are vocals.
They need them, that's what I said.
All of them, they're vocals.
That's correct. That's correct, actually.
And they all need their own microphone.
That's exactly what I said. Ashley's like, they have all eight mics. I was like, they need them.
Yes, they do.
I think when a group comes back and they do a Killing Voice, that is one of the best promotions mm-hmm. you could do. And not all the groups can do it because you have to have a lot of discography to do it.
Yeah.
And you gotta be ready to go live. Like, they will expose you if
yes.
your vocals are not up to par. So when groups do the Killing Voice, I am very supportive of it. And Ashley, I've had that on repeat the last couple of days also, but I've also been watching reaction videos of it. And every single time it ends, the reactors, and me included, will go like, dude, we didn't even scratch the surface with the discography. Like, it was barely anything.
I know, and it was already a 20-minute video. Or however long
it
is.
Like, it was barely. And it was already 20 minutes, exactly. So.
I know.
Anyway.
They have so... Yeah. Good stuff.
Fighting EXO. How many years is it now? I don't actually know, but...
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Ten plus years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
Yay, EXO.
Okay. Thank you. And next we have Gabe.
All right. So for my recommendation this time around, I'm recking a release from Treasure's first ever subunit, T5, and it's the song Move. This song by Treasure T5, as I mentioned, it's the first subunit of the group. It's made up of five members. And the five members, and so backstory, I looked into what the selection process was for these five members, and according to Wikipedia, apparently all the Treasure members are just like sitting in a room, and then someone asks like, which of you thinks you're the most handsome in the group, and then five people raise their hands, and then these are the five members that made the debut in the subunit. So
Random.
That's what the CEO said.
That was gonna be one of my questions, because I was a little confused by who they chose. Because these aren't like the most popular members, you know? They're just like,
and they're not like the most like strong
I'm
vocalists.
I'm sorry, so whoever wrote their hand was first five was gonna be a part of this?
Yeah.
Are those the only five that raised their hands?
I think so. I think they went in not knowing like why they were raising their hands, and then it ended up being like for the that's what the CEO's story is. So,
okay,
random.
Okay, why are you doing some vetting here? Some
so
really
the five
in-depth
members are Jihoon, Jungkyu, Jaehyuk, Doyoung, and Jeonghwan. And full disclosure, when I first saw kind of the music video and the dance practice, I could only recognize Jungkyu because there's just too many Treasure members. But as I've been kind of going through it more, I feel like Jaehyuk is pretty good also. Kind of, he's a strong vocalist, he's a pretty good dancer. I mean, they're all good dancers, but and especially. So the reason why I first kind of caught on to this is because I saw the dance practice, which they released a week before the music video. And this was June, I think, 18th.
I thought that was pretty interesting that they released a dance practice before the track. Usually that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And so I think what they were like really leaning into the visual kind of thing. So the teaser for the dance practice was the part of the dance practice where they like lift their shirts up.
Yeah.
In the last chorus.
It was aggressive.
They released the dance practice and then the music video a week later. And I looked at the YouTube views and the dance practice has 35 million views. Oh. And the music video has 34 million.
Oh my god. You know, I think there might have been a little bit of confusion because when I first saw that dance practice video, I thought it was going to be a Taemin cover. And that's why I clicked it. I didn't think it was going to be like, I didn't think it was going to be a release. Because it's just like a random ass release dance practice, you know? Like, why would they release a song, a dance practice ahead of the music video?
It's just not standard order.
Yeah,
I don't know, but they released the dance practice and they have the part where they lift up their shirts in the last chorus in the dance practice. And so like, okay, that's probably why they did that first, is to like build up hype. But then I watched the music video and then like I watched an Inkigayo stage and they don't have that in the choreo. So I'm like, what's the point of...
Wait, what? That's confusing. That's misleading.
So,
is it that they're not allowed to do that on Inkigayo?
I have no idea. But
I mean, no, people have done
fake
worse.
Fake love, yeah. Like, Jungkook did it. And many other idols have done it, too.
Well, only one of were doing their thing on Inkigayo, too.
Again, so. There you go. There you go. Yes.
I take that back.
Anyway, so the timing of the releases was very interesting to me. It seemed kind of, I don't know, like, maybe they have a strategy. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a question / comment. Yeah, I feel like this, I was seeing some, like, advertisement about this unit. And obviously, if they're coming up with the release, they've been preparing for it. But I still feel like it kind of came out of left field. Like, where did this come from? And, like, why did this have to be, like, a T4? And, I mean, I don't mean to sound, like, critical, but I'm just like, wait. Treasure is not, like, senior enough to be doing subunit things. Like, they should be doing full group things.
There's something going on with them, like, conflict-wise or dispute-wise?
Yeah.
Or am I making... Yeah, yeah,
like,
okay.
Member lineup difference?
Yeah, they did have two members leave last year. One of them was Bang Yedam, who left the group because he wanted to be a producer. And the other was, like, Mashiro, I think is his name?
Mashiho.
And he just left for health problems. So their lineup decreased by two
people.
Yeah,
maybe.
And they haven't
had
a comeback since.
Well... So this was, okay, so the way that this release was marketed, apparently it's a pre-release for a full group comeback that's going to happen in a couple weeks.
That's so weird.
So, that is so weird.
I trust that YG knows what they're doing because they release bangers and they are able to produce groups that have massive popularity. But I'm just, like, so confused. Like, why did this need to be a 5-person release? Confused.
Yeah. And the dance practice really, I think, took away from the actual release itself.
Like, people were interested in the shirts.
Yeah, people were interested a week earlier, and then they didn't really capitalize on that.
Oh, because you couldn't even stream the song even if you wanted
to. Yeah, you couldn't stream the song. You could only watch the dance practice. And then once they released the music video, they didn't even have the part in the dance that everybody was watching.
Okay.
Anyway, so the track itself...
Right, back to the music.
Kind of like... Yeah, so it's... The way I describe it, it's kind of like a classic... fourth gen boy group, like hard hitting, kind of, you know, like baddie kind of track. It has a really distorted bass line. They have like kind of a sexy concept going on. You know, it's like any other boy group fourth gen song, I think, and it's kind of par for the course. So it wasn't anything super groundbreaking for me. But yeah, I think the circumstances surrounding the release were kind of the most interesting.
Yeah.
And then another thing to note is that this song follows kind of the YG song structure formula almost to a T. It has like the first chorus and then the second chorus, and then instead of doing a bridge, they just do like an outro. And this is kind of one of my one of my least favorite outros that YG has done for a song. It has like some trumpet or brass sounds in it, and that was kind of like meh for me. So I think I prefer like the Blackpink outros, like last chorus outros more. But
yeah,
the dance was good. I feel like it was overall a strong release, but just a little bit misplaced.
You know what the song reminded me of? You know the Backstreet Boys song, like what is it? The one where they're on the phone in the club. And it's like, I can't.
I would try to chime in, but I don't know Backstreet Boys discography.
It's like,
I don't either.
No, hold on. Okay, give me a second. Say your thoughts. I'll come back.
Yeah,
to it.
But in that same type of vein, I feel like the concept of the video kind of had a dated feel to it. And it just reminds me of like I wrote, which I don't know if this is correct because I wasn't a fan of them back in the day, and I don't know if, but it feels like a Super Junior, like old people thing.
Oh, no, okay. Like, you know what
it
is.
Explain it.
It's classic, and it goes back kind of related to what I was saying about Backstreet Boys. So, okay, the song is called The Call, and it reminds me of that because if you look at their album cover, that is very, like, 90s boy group, like, pose. Like, even down to the font of the T5, like, that gives me, like, 98 Degrees, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC,
yeah.
Like, epitome 1999.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I got from this song.
Think of Super Junior, just like old school boy group. But I don't think Super Junior. Maybe I was thinking of like an American group and not necessarily a Korean group because those are totally different aesthetics. but yeah, I agree with you, Chris. Some of the other notes that I wrote are. The suit concept is not fitting for them because I still see them as babies. Like, it's just, they're just boys to me. Like, I can't see them as grown men yet. And so the sexiness was, like, a little off-putting. And then the last thing I have is about their member with the long hair, So Jung-hwan. He's the maknae of the group. And he's been there since the beginning, but when T5 debuted, I thought he was a brand new member. Like, I thought maybe they added another person because they like kicked out those two. Well, they didn't kick out, but like they lost those two other members. And he's just like unrecognizable. I think what happened is he had such a baby face before. And then he grew out his hair. Maybe he got a little bit thinner. He lost his baby fat, like, in his face. And now he looks like a man. I don't know.
He was born in 2005, so he's 18.
18.
He's going through puberty. Finishing it up.
Yeah, so he must have been, like, 16 when they last came back. 16, 17.
Oh, yeah, is their last release Jeepjin? Or
yeah.
Or no, was there Hello after? Maybe Hello.
Yeah, they did have Hello.
Okay.
But yeah, I think
that was a while ago, though.
He aged.
It was a while ago.
He definitely grew out of his little baby face, and now he's a young adult.
Yes, a young adult. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, the other thing I thought about the music video was that it seemed a little bit low budget. Because, like, they had maybe, I think they had, like, a couple sets that were just, like, super simple. Maybe that was the concept they were going for, but it just felt like every shot was, like, a simple.
Yeah. Like, I don't, it know. Didn't really seem like to me this was, like, a serious, serious unit release. Like, yeah. It was, I mean, obviously it was, like, a serious release, but, like, well, from what Gabe said, there was not much thought put into who was going to be on this track. Like, nothing was written particularly for these four, like, five groups of people. There was this song probably sitting around, and then this kind of came to light.
Yeah.
Am I going to get canceled for that? I don't know.
No.
Tell us if I'm wrong. I don't know.
Facts. Like, it is weird that they didn't do a full comeback when all the other members are just, like, sitting around.
Yeah, they're not on, like, full, I don't know. On a positive note, I saw that Haechan and one of the members did a challenge together.
Aww.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I didn't know you were friends with this person. Because it just, like, challenge? Kind of came out of left field. Like, Haechan's not even promoting this week on music shows, and I don't know. It just kind of came up. A dance
challenge, or, like?
It was some kind of dance challenge with a treasure member. I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Aww, I love
and
that.
And the internet really liked that because there's not a lot of Treasure NCT overlap. So,
that well, was there's really not nice. A lot of Treasure content, period. But
that's true.
That's another discussion.
That is true. Ashley, what do you have to say about that? What's going to happen with Treasure here? They've been one of your groups for a while.
You know, I like when Gabe said earlier that the only member that he recognized was Jungkook. It just reminded me that, like, they're not doing shit, you know? And I don't understand why, because YG as a company is not really doing anything, you know? They lost Icon, Winners, probably, I don't even know what they're releasing right now. Blackpink is on tour. I don't
even know if they're even, is Winner in the military, right?
Yeah, I think one of them went to the military.
Yeah, Blackpink is on tour. They're not actively promoting. Like, the last release they had was Jisoo Flower. Like, what are they doing Gara. With their... Yeah, what are they doing with all their resources, you know? Like, Treasure is around and they're able. So just put them
they're
to work.
They're ready to work. They're ready to work. I mean, that's always been the trade-off about YG, right? It's like... Usually when they come back, it's usually pretty good, but they're underworked. Like, in general, it seems like. Relative to the rest of the industry, yeah. They're underworked.
And then there's the contract renewal stuff with Blackpink that's still up
looming.
In the air.
Yeah, looming.
Well, that and they keep extending Blackpink's tour. Like, they keep at, like, it's about to end, and then they add another set of shows.
And meanwhile, Jennie needs to have an IV in her arm to perform. Lord, save her.
Yeah.
Like, help her here.
That's so sad.
Anyways, okay, are we, okay.
Skip to the next time.
We're gonna move on. We're gonna move on before we get too out of hand. Okay, well, my rec, we can still talk about this, and I will talk about this, because my rec is a XYG artist. But I'm here to shout out Sandara Park and her actual solo debut album, which is ridiculous to say. It's titled Festival, which is the title track. But my recommendation for this episode is going to be off of the album, and it's called Dara Dara. So a little, we have not actually formally talked about Dara. So, well, Dara was her stage name that was given to her by YG, but now she goes by Sandara Park, which is her actual name or her full name. But she rose to fame in the Philippines on a talent show. And Ashley and I were kind of talking about that before we started off here. Like, is she Filipino? Like, what's going on here? No, she's Korean, but she somehow made her way over to the Philippines and she was on a talent show. And she was like trying to get signed on with that talent agency, but nothing really happened there. So lo and behold, YG came around and gave her a contract, and she signed in 2007, and she ended up debuting with 21, who are a mega girl group. All of our K-pop veterans would know. They debuted in 2009, have a really great career, only for 7 years actually, but 21 disbands in 2016. Some of the other girls part and go their own ways, like Minzy goes her own way, CL ultimately goes her own way. Who am I missing? Park Bom. Yeah, Park Bom ultimately goes her own way and does solo things, was on Queendom, you know, has stayed pretty, like, more or less active for a very veteran K-pop idol. Dara was probably the most loyal in staying with the company for a pretty long time. So she stayed with YG until 2021, until she signed with this new label called Abyss Company. And I was like, oh, like, what is Abyss? Like, certainly they're a smaller company, but I wonder if there's any other people here. Now, lo and behold, her colleagues are none other than, y'all ready for this? GOT7's Bam Bam. So that was really interesting.
Interesting.
And also Sunmi. And I was like, oh, okay. So this Abyss company is racking up some artists here, and Bam Bam's very active. And Sunmi is very active too. So I think Dara was like, I'm not done yet. Like, I haven't even released an album. So thank goodness this album is here. She has been an idol since 2009, and it is the year of our Lord, 2023. So, how many years has it been? Like, I can't do math. Anyways, 14 years. So, and with all of the popularity that 2NE1 had, that she did not get a solo album until 2023 is kind of ridiculous. But she's finally come back, or released her solo debut album under Abyss, which is pretty cool. Her title track and the name of the album is called Festival. And I know I keep going back to this, but when I looked at the album art, I was like, okay, interesting. Carnival theme, lots of colors.
Oh God, I know where this is going.
I mean, it's really giving Zim Zelabim. I'm just gonna say it. Like, I'll just say it. You can go back to episode like 4 to hear what we have to say about Zim Zelabim. But yeah, I feel like the title track kind of threw me into like question mark. Like I was a little bit confused by it at first because I don't really see Dara as a very, I mean, she smiles a lot, she laughs a lot, she's a host. So, but her music wise, I don't see her as like a bubbly figure. But Festival was very much that type of release. It was trying to just, on Spotify, it's really interesting. She has like this message about the album. Well, actually the mini album is actually self-titled Sandara Park, but the title track is called Festival. Anyways, I'll just quote a little bit about what she says the album is about. So she says, the first solo album talks about all of my stories about the future, standing in the present and using the past as a stepping stone. And through this album, she really only wanted to share the fun and happy moments together without any worries. So it's very like good vibes only album, she says. She wants her listeners to think really positively and I mean, it says in the Spotify that she wants people to kind of take in like a YOLO mentality, which is really interesting. So she just wants people to have fun with this album. So that's what I'm doing. So Festival was very, very upbeat. Play was very upbeat. And then Happy Ending was also very happy. I chose also an upbeat song. So Dara Dara is the third track on the album, produced and written by Gray, who is a rapper, but also one of her really good friends. So I'm sure they had a really fun time doing this track together. The song itself is really just about sharing moments and memories with like a said significant other. So it has a really simple simple lyrics. It's called Dara Dara, and I think one of the reasons why I was really appealed to it, because I was like, oh, that's her name. I wonder if there's any like any secret meaning behind it. Like, what does it actually refer to? And in Korean, it means sweet, sweet. So yeah, I think it really goes to like the vibe that she's trying to put up for this album. And I'm just really happy that she's able to do like what she wants to do, like life after YG. She's been at YG for so long, and now she's starting like on a very positive note with her new album. So
did she just leave YG?
She left in 2021, so relatively. She was very loyal to that company for a while. I think that they were still like giving her what she needed at the time. Like, they were still willing to like market her, find her gigs and stuff. But I mean, clearly she wasn't getting any like music.
Yeah. And then when did 21 disband? 21
disbanded in 2016. So she stayed for 5 years after 21 disbanded. 6 years.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. 5 years. Oh my God. Oh, 5 years. And so they just like.
I think she was active doing things that she wanted to, but like, yeah. Like she was probably on TV in the Philippines a lot and things like that. Like, she's still very well known in the Philippines, probably lesser so in Korea. But
nothing in particular.
Yeah, like she wasn't like active, so to speak.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, she's about to come back really strong.
Hopefully with her new colleagues Sunmi and Bam Bam.
Yeah.
So I was looking at her Twitter. The reason why I found this out was because I was looking at her Twitter because I was, you know, doing some research about her. And she like retweeted Sunmi, and I was like, this is so random. Like, I didn't even know y'all were friends. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. They're colleagues now in the same company. So
yeah.
Anyways, so I'm really happy for her. I really like the vibe of this album. I wouldn't say that it's, I mean, some of it is summery vibe, which is really nice, but also just kind of like low key, nice car music, like to play on a drive, which I feel like we just need sometimes. So yeah, the last comment that I'll say is, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if this is exactly true, but my first gut reaction to this as trying to compare it to something was, it's kind of giving like a little bit of IU. Like her voice is not like IU's voice, and her voice are not like ballad hard hitting. They're more like falsetto-y. So
okay.
I feel like Dara also used that voice and kind of channeled that sound. Yeah, it's not like a Wendy voice, for example, right? Or I don't know, someone else I can't think of off the top of my head, but it's kind of like light. It's like falsetto.
Yeah,
centered
sunset drive with your convertible top down.
Yeah, exactly.
Down PCH
like, you know, exactly. So I really liked it. And I like how she named this track kind of Dara Dara, but it also has like a Korean meaning coming from like something that's sweet. So Anyways, anyone else have any thoughts on Dara or this song or the album?
Yes. Every time I think of her, mine is super quick. I just think of when 21 performed at Last Coachella. No, not last. The
two Coachellas ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're coming down on the stage, and just Dara just like puts up her leg in like a standing up splits, like as they're coming in as her intro. And I was like, yes, that's the energy.
Queens.
Nice.
Yes.
They are the that 2NE1 is an undisputable queen of K-pop. So that was
Yeah.
probably the last time she performed, quite frankly. Coachella
Oh.
2022. So
I'm glad
good
she's
job
getting
to
work.
Abyss for even getting her that gig, right? But yeah, I was all yeah, it seemed like she had a lot of untapped potential that she still wants to tap into and to try out. So
Yeah. For her song festival, the music video, I love all of her hair gems. Like, she has so many hair gems in her updo that like it just looks like bedazzled hair. Like clips, gems, everything. I don't know. I like it. It's fun. Another
It's a
note
very
that
fun song.
yeah, it is fun. Another thing that I wrote is that she kind of looks like Nayeon from Twice. I
That's
don't know.
interesting.
It's random. And then lastly, in the outro of that song, they're doing this like whole dance scene, and the backup dancers are wearing like all bright, colorful white outfits. And then Dara is in the middle. She's wearing like a black something. And then there's another woman there. And I was like, is this woman a feature on the track or is she a backup dancer? And I just didn't know who she was. Do you know who she was? I gotta look it up.
No, no, but those up.
It's just
Yeah, I don't know.
random.
Yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to shout out Dara. I'm glad that she's doing her thing and she's able to have a life after 21 and after YG. So that means now all the girls have mini albums, at least. So
Good for them.
took quite a while, but they're all aces.
Yeah.
So,
I still can't believe she stayed at YG for 5 years
5 years
years.
after. I think she was very content there. And then she just resigned. And then she took the last, it was like, no more, and left. But all right. Thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode. We are on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. We also have our email that you'd like if you'd like to send us any any topics that you'd like us to cover or any requests or feedback, idletalkpod@gmail.com. We also have our directory, idletalkpod.uu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, information about us, the list of our episodes can be found there, and also our summer K-pop playlist, which we'll post again. So thank you to our listeners for tuning into that. And we'll be back for another episode next week. And we'll see y'all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm Vivian Yoon. Listen to K-pop Dreaming from Elias Studios. I grew up in Koreatown in the 90s, and my friends and I could not get enough of K-pop.
Do you remember SES?
Yes.
Yeah.
My dreams
Come
come
true.
true.
So, how did the music that only Korean and Korean Americans listened to become a global cultural force? And what role did LA and Koreatown play in K-pop's rise? K-pop Dreaming. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.